Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, December 29, 2024, Romans.
All right, for all of those who cannot read, you came in. Schedule change this week. We have communion on Tuesday, New Year's Eve, communion at 2 p.m., 2 in the afternoon. So communion at 2 on Tuesday, followed by a movie, and then classes will be Thursday and Friday. Come on in, ladies. No. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 8. You might have forgot where we were. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that because of who and what you are, and the gift of your Son, the indescribable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, we can have Christmas every single day. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, we'll note the corrected translation starting at verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. For those believers who live according to the sin nature keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, that is, what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, that is living the Spirit-filled life, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit. That is God and the Word of God. Now we've exegeted only half of verse 6, but it sounds like this. So then, the mindset that is controlled by the sin nature is death. It results in death. Carnal death resulting, if you don't recover, in the sin unto death. Now that's as far as we have gotten so in this verse. This is a very important passage for all believers in Jesus Christ to understand. Unfortunately today, Far too many believers are living their life controlled by the sin nature rather than controlled by God the Holy Spirit. The believer who lives his life under the control and the mindset of the sin nature, he is living in carnal death. Now, we studied the seven different categories of death before we got into the Christmas play weekend. The believer who lives his life under the control and the mindset of the sin nature is living in carnal death. The result of continuing to live under the control and mindset of the sin nature is the sin unto death. The justice of God can only discipline such a believer. Now, why does God take the time to discipline the believer? Because he wants to bless you. And you are making bad decisions from your own free will to live out of fellowship with God, to live in Satan's cosmic system. And you're headed toward crashing and burning. That's not what God wants for you. God wants to bless you. He does not love. He isn't up there going, oh, I just hope they get out of line so I can spank them. That's not our God. Our God loves us with infinite virtue love. And he has the most fantastic plan for us. And that plan is he wants to bless us. From the very moment of faith in Jesus Christ, in his magnificent plan, he starts right out blessing us, blessing us, blessing us. You didn't even realize how much he was blessing you. 40 salvation blessings. You had Christmas. The moment you placed your faith in Christ, you were celebrating Christmas and you didn't even know it. With blessing, 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 blessing. 40 salvation blessings. And then a grace pipeline's been established with God's righteousness imputed to you on one end and his justice on the other. Why? Because he wants to send blessing down that grace pipeline. Logistical grace blessing in to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can fulfill God's plan for your life. Now, a lot of Christians, they have their own plan for their lives, and they put that way ahead of God's plan for their life. But God's plan for your life is the absolute, total, best plan. There is none of your plans are better than God's plan for your life. And his plan for your life is for you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God's plan for your life is for you to attain spiritual maturity, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's God's plan. And when that is true, guess what? Now he can bless you right out of your frickin' tree. I mentioned that to my wife this morning. So I thought, that's a good thing to use. See, illustration. He wants to bless you with greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessings in time, in the short time that we're here, and greater grace blessings for all eternity that glorify God forever and ever. We're going to... As we get to on into Romans chapter 8, this is the most phenomenal chapter. We're just beginning to fight here. But when we get on into verse 17 is a very, very transitional verse. And it brings in a new motif. The Apostle Paul is bringing in a motif of suffering and glory. The motif of suffering, undeserved suffering for blessing given to the winner believer in time, and glory, greater grace, blessings given to the winner believer in eternity. So we have this fantastic motif that's going to be beginning at verse 17. That's the transitional verse, suffering and glory. We're not quite there yet, though. So the believer who lives his life under the control and mindset of the sin nature is living in carnal death. The result of continuing to live under the control and mindset of the sin nature is the sin unto death. For the justice of God can only discipline such a believer. But when God disciplines us, the motivation for doing so is because He loves us with infinite virtue love. He loves us with infinite virtue love. So I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity, as you become a winner believer, there's something you will have in your soul. You will love God for the time He takes to discipline you. You respect it, you love it, you know the whole purpose of it is because He wants to bless you. And so you never look at it as a negative thing, you look at it as a wonderful, wonderful demonstration of God's love for you. He wants to bless you. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Now we are the sons of God. We are huios, adult sons of God in union with Jesus Christ. We are technon, children of God. And therefore, our Heavenly Father, when He disciplines us, it's a family matter. This is a family matter between our Heavenly Father and each one of us. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. He loves us with infinite virtue love. The Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Therefore, endure deserved suffering as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and every believer undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children, and you're not true sons. Moreover, we have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our human fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But our Heavenly Father, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His blessings. Now, no discipline seemed pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces the prosperous fruit of grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity for those who have been trained by it. So, it's a wonderful thing to have our Heavenly Father love us so much, and we start making bad decisions, We make bad decisions to get out of fellowship with God. We make bad decisions to live our life in Satan's cosmic system. He knows we're headed toward crashing and burning. He doesn't want that. He wants to bless you. That's God's plan. He wants to bless you. And we noted seven different categories of death. That was as far as we got in Romans 8:6 before our break. Now we continue on. So we have so far in verse 6, so then, the mindset of the sin nature is death, carnal death, resulting in the sin unto death. But, now we go on, but to the spiritually minded is, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is the post-positive conjunction death plus the nominative singular phronema with the definite article plus the genitive singular pneuma. I know you say pneuma, but there were no silent letters in Greek. Pneuma with the definite article plus the nominative singular of zoe plus the conjunction chi and the nominative singular of eirene. All right, we have the conjunction de. Looks like that's D-E, de. The conjunction de is a conjunction of contrast, and so it should be correctly translated, but. And it sets up a contrast between, first of all, the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. Contrast between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. Who is in control of your life? Is it the sin nature or is it God the Holy Spirit? Secondly, it sets up a contrast between carnal death and spiritual life. Carnal death and spiritual life. And then third, it sets up a contrast between maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death, and greater grace blessings that God has for the spiritually mature believer. Sets up a contrast between maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death, and greater grace blessings that God has in His magnificent plan for the spiritually mature believer. And then we have phronema. We already had it in the first half of verse 6, and now it's repeated again. Phronema, P-H-R-O-N, long E-M-A, phronema. All right, a couple of things again on this word. We saw it, but that was about a month ago. Let's take a look at it again. I know you all have fabulous mind that you only have to hear it once and that's it. But for those one or two of you who don't, one. Phronema comes from the verb phroneo. Comes from the verb phroneo. P-H-R-O-N-E, long O. Now, there's a couple of different words for thinking in the Scriptures. And they're very separate and distinguished. Phroneo is the verb for objective thinking. Thinking Bible doctrine. Thinking divine viewpoint. That's what God wants us to do, phroneo. Now, there's another word, dokeo. D-O-K-E, long O, dokeo. That's subjective thinking. In fact, Gnosticism in the time of the Apostle John was docetic Gnosticism, and it was characterized by subjective thinking. So that's dokeo, that's used most of the time in a very negative way in the scriptures, and then in contrast to phroneo. Well, phronema comes from phroneo. Point two, phroneo is objective thinking. It is thinking the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. That's where we want to be. We want to be thinking the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Three, phroneo is thinking divine viewpoint. In contrast to dokeo, subjective thinking, thinking human viewpoint. So phroneo is thinking divine viewpoint, in contrast to dokeo, subjective thinking, thinking human viewpoint. Point four, and so the noun phronema means a way of thinking, a mindset, a thought pattern. A way of thinking, a mindset, a thought pattern. Five, in our verse, Romans 8, verse 6, it is used of two contrasting mindsets. Two contrasting mindsets. The mindset of the sin nature, which is death, carnal death resulting in the sin unto death, and the mindset of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, which is life and peace. So in Romans 8, 6, it is used of two contrasting mindsets. The mindset of the sin nature, which is death, resulting in the sin unto death, and the mindset of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, which is life and peace. The word pneuma, with a definite article, P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. Here it is used for the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, emphasizing the filling of the Spirit as the divine power to live the unique spiritual life that God has for us in the church age, as well as the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And then we have Zoe. Looks like that. Z, long O, long E. Zoe. Zoe is the word for life. This is living the unique spiritual life of the church age. God has given us a unique spiritual life. First time it was lived by the Lord Jesus Christ at the first advent, and then passed on to the royal family of God in the church age. There was no unique spiritual life in the age of Israel or in the Old Testament. This is unique to the church age. So Zoe, life, living the spiritual life of the church age. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual scales, and when you attain spiritual maturity, when you reach the ultimate objective and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then that results in eirene. Then that results in eirene. E-I-R, long E-N, long E. Eirene. Now, and we were studying Isaiah 9, one of the characteristics of the celebrityship of our miracle Messiah is he is the Prince of Peace. And that's the Hebrew word shalom. Eirene is the same as the Hebrew shalom. It means peace. It means prosperity. It means blessing in its widest sense. That's eirene. So, corrected translation. So then, the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is death. Carnal death resulting in the sin unto death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, is life, spiritual life, resulting in peace, greater grace, blessings, and prosperity of the winner believer. This is a great, great verse. So let's look at that again. So then, the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is death, carnal death resulting in the sin unto death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, is life, the spiritual life, resulting in peace, greater grace, blessings, and prosperity of the winner believer. One. Verse 6 contrasts the loser believer with the winner believer. Now, loser believer doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. That's impossible. You have eternal security. You'll live with God forever, no matter how much of a mess you make while you're here on earth. Now, hopefully you come to your senses after a while. You start out, when God has to spank you, he starts out with warning discipline. And hopefully you come to your senses right away and say, hey, I'm making bad decisions here. And it doesn't feel so good. I think I'll rebound, get back into fellowship with God. I think I'll get up and get out of this. But if you don't come to your senses, well, then comes intensive discipline. And that hurts more. And hopefully God brings that because he wants you to come to your senses. He wants you to rebound. He wants you to get back into living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. He wants to bless you. Unfortunately, if you don't learn, come to your senses at that point, then God brings dying discipline. And it's not something that God just... He is the holy God. He's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He will administer it. But he loves you. He wants you. He wants you to come to your senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and reversion recovery. He wants you to get into reversion recovery. Why? He wants to bless you. That's why. So, verse 6 contrasts the loser believer with the winner believer. 2, the loser believer makes bad decisions. Bad decisions, and is controlled by the sin nature with its lust patterns. He is controlled by the sin nature with its lust patterns. Three. The loser believer is in carnal death, and without rebound, and without reversion recovery, this results in maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. The loser believer is in carnal death, and without rebound, and without reversion recovery, it results in maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. 4, the winner believer makes good decisions to live the spiritual life. And he is controlled by God the Holy Spirit, the power, the divine power of the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. It's the power for the teaching ministry of the Spirit so we can grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so we can attain maturity, so we can have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. So the winner believer is making good decisions. to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and is controlled by God the Holy Spirit. 5, the winner believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and this results in eirene, peace, great blessing from God. Great blessing from God. And that's God's plan for you. That's why you can have Christmas every single day. I mean, when the moment you believed in Christ, you didn't realize it, but there, right there, you were celebrating Christmas. And there was a Christmas tree, and there were 40 presents right there. As soon as you believed in Christ, Christmas tree, 40 presents. Why, Merry Christmas. And all you did was simply believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So the winner believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and this results in eirene, great blessing from God. 6, at salvation, God the Father imputes His righteousness to the believer. We know this as justification by faith. Justification by faith. God imputes His righteousness to you and declares you to be righteous. That's what justify means. So at salvation, God the Father imputes His righteousness to the believer, justification by faith. 7. This establishes the grace pipeline. The grace pipeline. With God's justice on one end and His imputed righteousness in the believer on the other end. This establishes a grace pipeline with God's justice on one end and His imputed righteousness in the believer on the other end. Now, a lot of you know Harlan and Joy. Harlan loved to go down to the casino and he loved to play craps. And he would say, "Dick, let's go down. Let's go down and shoot craps." I said, "I don't have any money. I'm a pastor, for God's sake. You know, I don't have any money." He said, I'll give you some money to play." Okay, well, you give me the money. I can lose your money as well as lose mine. I got down there. He's at one end of the table. I'm at the other. And he got the dice and made point after point after point after point. They're starting to pay us in black, and you know black is beautiful. Started paying us in black chips. Filled up the tray with black chips. Filled up another tray with black chips. I looked down at Harlan, and we were studying the Grace Pipeline. I'm at the other end of the table, and I go, "Come on down, yeah." Okay, you don't have to remember. That's a, for some of you, that's all you remember this morning, is it? So this establishes the grace pipeline with God's justice on one end and His imputed righteousness in the believer on the other. 8. Down that grace pipeline comes eirene, phenomenal, amazing blessings. Down that grace pipeline comes eirene, phenomenal, amazing blessings. 9. So, after salvation, what? God's plan for you is to receive blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. So after salvation, what? God's plan for you is to receive blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. You are left here after salvation to be blessed. To be blessed. God's plan for you is to have Christmas every day. Now, to understand this in depth, you have to think categorically. That's a great, you need to learn to think categorically. And that is, there are categories of blessing that come to you. It starts out right at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ. 40 salvation blessings right at the moment of faith in Christ. You need to think categorically. Now, it's one thing to say, oh yeah, I have 40 salvation blessings, but okay, what are they? What are they? Four? You need to think categorically to appreciate all these fantastic blessings. Logistical grace blessings. Think categorically. What is logistical grace blessing? What does that all include? Greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings for time. And greater grace blessings for eternity. Categorically, what are those greater grace blessings in time? What are those greater grace blessings for eternity? You need to be thinking categorically. So that's what we're going to do here, probably for the next month. We're going to think categorically about God's blessing us, the blessings He has for us. The divine plan of blessing us, Eirene, began at the moment of salvation, the moment of faith in Christ. And it began with 40 salvation blessings. You had Christmas at salvation. 40 salvation blessings. What are they? Well, number one, efficacious grace. Efficacious grace. The omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit makes the gospel understandable to you at gospel hearing. That's called common grace. And then we receive the divine call. That's the divine invitation by God the Father to believe in Jesus Christ. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, then the ministry of God the Holy Spirit makes our faith effective for eternal salvation. That's efficacious grace. So the first blessing given to you at the moment of salvation was the fact that God the Holy Spirit made your faith in Jesus Christ effective for eternal salvation. Ephesians 1:13, in whom also when you heard the message of truth, when you heard the message of truth, that's when common grace of God the Holy Spirit turned on the light. Turned on the light so you could understand the issue. God the Father's inviting you to believe, the divine invitation, inviting you to believe in Christ. And then for you, all of you, then place your faith in Christ. And that's where God the Holy Spirit came in, took your faith, made it effective for salvation. So Ephesians 1:13, in whom also when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, common grace, God the Holy Spirit turned the light on so you could understand it. God the Father invited you to believe in Christ, in whom also when you believe, efficacious grace, you were sealed by means of the Holy Spirit. Number two, then, is the sealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave a signature guarantee at the very moment you believed in Jesus Christ. Sealing is the signature guarantee of God the Holy Spirit. He guarantees four things. His ministry in common and efficacious grace, number one. Two, eternal salvation. Three, eternal security. Four, your portfolio of invisible assets. So sealing is the signature guarantee of God the Holy Spirit. He guarantees His ministry in common and efficacious grace, eternal salvation, eternal security, and your portfolio of invisible assets. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Not only in our passage, Ephesians 1:13, but 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. As a guarantee, a signature guarantee. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Third blessing. An eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance. At the moment we believe in Christ, we receive an inheritance which is eternal. We become the heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is coming up in Romans, when we get to Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. Romans 8, 16 and 17, I'll give you a preview of the coming attractions. The Spirit Himself, God the Holy Spirit, testifies along with our spirit, human spirit, that we are the children of God. And if we are children, the children of God, first class condition, and we are children of God, we are also heirs. On the one hand, we are heirs of God the Father, but on the other hand, we are joint heirs with Christ. So that's coming up, Romans 8, 16 and 17. And maybe in a couple of years, we'll get to that verse soon. Okay, I'm glad you got a sense of humor. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To obtain an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. First Peter 1, verse 4. So the third blessing, an eternal inheritance. Number four, regeneration. Number four, regeneration. Well, that's a good place. Let's start with regeneration after take a break. So you take a break, go out there. Boy, it's hard to believe this is Christmas when the sun's shining and it's 60 degrees out there. But that's the kind of Christmas I like. Okay. We'll see you in part two in a few.